Hello, welcome to your daily briefing. August the 1st, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us the blessings that we need so much. We're grateful for all that you continue to do for us day by day. We recognize that without you, we can accomplish nothing. And so today we place ourselves in your care, asking that you would continue to lead us in the path of righteousness. We recognize our need of guidance, our need of correction each and every day. And today we come asking that you would continue to correct us, showing us the love that only you can show. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I want to take a look at an article that is found in the Catholic Answers website. That's the Catholic Answers website. And I found it rather intriguing because it gives quite a detailed explanation, at least it says it does, as to why Sabbath no longer applies to the seventh day of the week, but rather to the first day of the week. The article is entitled Sabbath or Sunday. Sabbath or Sunday. And as I said before, it is quite an exhaustive article. We'll see how far that we can get with this. So the title is Sabbath or Sunday. It's in Catholic Answers website. And here's some of the article. Some religious organizations, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Seventh-day Baptists, and certain others, claim that Christians must not worship on Sunday, but on Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath. Notice how they describe the Sabbath as the Jewish Sabbath. They claim that at some unnamed time after the apostolic age, the church, meaning the Catholic Church, changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. However, passages of scripture such as Acts 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, Colossians 2 verses 16 and 17, and Revelation 1 and verse 10 indicate that even during the New Testament times, the Sabbath is no longer binding, and the Christians are to worship on the Lord's Day, Sunday, instead. At first I thought I was going to go through all of those texts with you, but I'm sure you've heard that before, and so I'm going to leave that. Just going to read the article, and we can always go back and take a look at that in the future if you want to. Continuing. Incidentally, let me just say that none of those texts actually indicate that there was a change of the Sabbath from Sabbath to Sunday. All right, continuing. The early church fathers compared the observance of the Sabbath to the observance of the rite of circumcision. And from that, they demonstrated that if the apostles abolished circumcision, so also the observance of the Sabbath must have been abolished. The following quotations show that the first Christians understood this principle and gathered for worship on Sunday. Now, the first quotation that they put in the article is from the Didache. Didache is spelled D-I-D-A-C-H-E. On page 14, here's the quote from the Didache. But every Lord's Day, gather yourselves together and break bread and give thanksgiving after having confessed your transgressions, that your sacrifice may be pure. But let no one that is at variance with his fellow come together with you until they be reconciled, that your sacrifice may not be profaned. That's the first quote. The second quote they give is the letter of Barnabas, they claim. The letter of Barnabas, and they claim that this is what is said. We keep the eighth day Sunday with joyfulness, the day also on which Jesus rose again from the dead. The next quote they take is from Ignatius of Antioch. Ignatius of Antioch, and they say that quote says, those who were brought up in the ancient order of things, the Jews, have come to the possession of a new hope. No longer observing the Sabbath, but living in the observance of the Lord's Day, on which also our life has sprung up again by him and by his death. The next quote, they say, comes from Justin Martyr. But Sunday is the day on which we all hold our common assembly, because it is the first day on which God, having wrought a change in the darkness and matter, made the world And Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day, rose from the dead. And of course, that's Justin Martyr's writing of the first apology, page 67. Next, they have another quote here from the Didascalia. Let me spell that for you. Didascalia, the Didascalia. The apostles further appointed on the first day of the week, let there be service, and the reading of the Holy Scriptures, and the oblation, that would be the sacrifice of the Mass. Because on the first day of the week, Sunday, our Lord rose from the place of the dead. And on the first day of the week, he arose upon the world. And on the first day of the week, he ascended up to heaven. And on the first day of the week, he will appear at last with the angels of heaven. So notice now, their argument is based not on scripture, but rather it is based on quotations that come from their fathers and their writers. The next quote they take is from Origen, and Origen's commentary on John. Here is the quote. Hence, it is not possible that the day of rest after the Sabbath should have come into existence from the seventh day of our God. On the contrary, it is our Savior who, after the pattern of his own rest, caused us to be made in the likeness of his death, and hence also of his resurrection. That's Origen, they say, made that statement, and of course that is part of their proof that the day of worship must be Sunday, first day of the week. Next quote they take from Victorinus. That's Victorinus, and this is what that says. The sixth day, Friday, is called Paraskeve, that is to say, the preparation of the kingdom. On this day also, on account of the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, we make either a station to God or a fast. On the seventh day, he rested from all his works and blessed it and sanctified it. On the former day, we are accustomed to fast rigorously, that on the Lord's day, we may go forth to our bread with giving of thanks. And let the Paraskeve become a rigorous fast, lest we should appear to observe any Sabbath with the Jews, which Sabbath he, Christ, in his body, abolished. So the point is that Christ abolished the seventh day Sabbath, and you should not be keeping any day along with Jews. The next quote that they're using here in this article is from Eusebius. Here's Eusebius's quote. They, the early saints of the Old Testament, did not care about circumcision of the body, neither do we Christians. They did not care about observing Sabbaths, nor do we. They did not avoid certain kinds of food, neither did they regard the other distinctions which Moses first delivered to their posterity to be observed as symbols, nor do Christians of the present day do such things. So now they're not only saying that you don't need to keep the Sabbath, but there are certain foods that you don't need to avoid. You can eat pretty much anything. And Eusebius goes on, he says, the day of his Christ's light was the day of his resurrection from the dead, which they say as being the one and only true holy day and the Lord's day is better than any number of days as we ordinarily understand them, and better than the days set apart by the Mosaic law for feasts, new moons, and Sabbaths, which the Apostle Paul teaches are the shadow of days and not days in reality. The next quote they take from Anastasius, and this is what they say in Anastasius' article on Sabbath and circumcision. The Sabbath was the end of the first creation. The Lord's day was the beginning of the second creation, in which he renewed and restored the old in the same way as he prescribed that they should formally observe the Sabbath as a memorial of the end of the first things. So we honor the Lord's day as being the memorial of the new creation. Then there's a quote from Cyril of Jerusalem. Fall not away either into the sect of the Samaritans or into Judaism, for Jesus Christ has henceforth ransomed you. Stand aloof from all observance of Sabbath and from calling any indifferent meals common or unclean. So notice now the article is moving slowly from the observation of the seventh day Sabbath and moving also to removing any restriction on the kind of foods that are clean or unclean. Then there's the Council of Laodicea they quote from in AD 360. Here's the quote. Christians should not Judaize and should not be idle on the Sabbath, but should work on that day. They should, however, particularly reverence the Lord's day, and if possible, not work on it because they were Christians. So the Lord's day is the first day of the week. The next quote they have quoted here from is John Chrysostom. His last name is spelled C-H-R-Y-S-O-S-T-O-M. Here is this long quote, and he wrote a work called Homilies on the Statutes. Here is his quote. When he, God, said you shall not kill, he did not add because murder is a wicked thing. The reason was that conscience had taught this beforehand, and he speaks thus as to those who know and understand the point. Wherefore, when he speaks to us of another commandment, not known to us by the dictate of conscience, he not only prohibits, but adds the reason. When, for instance, he gave the commandment concerning the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day you shall do no work, he subjoined also the reason for this cessation. What was this? Because on the seventh day God rested from all his work which he had begun to make. For what purpose then, I ask, did he add a reason respecting the Sabbath, but did not such thing in regard to murder? Because this commandment was not one of the leading ones. It was not one of those which was accurately defined of our conscience, but a kind of partial and temporary one. And for this reason it was abolished afterward. But those which are necessary and upholding our life are the following. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. On this account, he adds no reason in this case, nor enters into any instruction on the matter, but is content with the bare prohibition. Now, if that is perhaps the most weird argument I have ever heard with regard to Sunday keeping. And then he continues to make another statement on that same vein. Ye have put on Christ. Ye have become a member of the Lord and been enrolled in the heavenly city. And ye shall grovel in the law of Moses. And you still grovel in the law of Moses. Let me read that again for you. You have put on Christ. You have become a member of the Lord and been enrolled in the heavenly city. And you still grovel in the law of Moses? How is it possible for you to obtain the kingdom? Listen to Paul's words, that the observance of the law overthrows the gospel. And learn, if you will, how this comes to pass, and tremble and shun this pitfall. Why do you keep the Sabbath and fast with the Jews? So in other words, he's saying, if you have become one with Christ, you don't need to grovel in the law of Moses. And then he continues with another thought. The rite of circumcision was venerable in the Jews' account, for as much as the law itself gave way thereto, and the Sabbath was less esteemed than circumcision. For that circumcision might be performed, the Sabbath was broken. But that the Sabbath might be kept, circumcision was never broken. And mark, I pray, the dispensation of God. This is found to be even more solemn than the Sabbath, has not been omitted at certain times. When then it is done away, much more is the Sabbath. So these men are all making the point that the Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath, has been done away with. There's no need to obey it. And therefore the Seventh Day Adventists and the Seventh Day Baptists, and there's some people who believe that it should be embraced, but you don't need to do any of that at all, because you're now following Christ, and Christ came out of the grave on the first day of the week. All right. In the Apostolic Constitutions, AD 400, here's a statement. And on the day of our Lord's resurrection, which is the Lord's day, meet more diligently, sending praise to God that made the universe by Jesus and send him to us, and condescending to let him suffer and raised him from the dead. Otherwise, what apology will he make to God who does not assemble on that day, in which is performed the reading of the prophets, the preaching of the gospel, the oblation of the sacrifice, the gift of the holy food? So if you don't meet on that day, the first day of the week, then you need to apologize to God. Here's what the writer says Augustine has to say. Well, now, I should like to be told what there is in these Ten Commandments except the observance of the Sabbath, which ought not to be kept by a Christian. So, you know, the other commandments apply, but you don't need to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. Pope Gregory I says, "It has come to my ears that certain men of perverse spirit have sown among you some things that are wrong and opposed to the holy faith, so as to forbid any work being done on the Sabbath day. What else can I tell these men but preachers of Antichrist, who then he comes will cause the Sabbath day as well as the Lord's day to be kept free from all work? For because he, the Antichrist, pretends to die and rise again, he wishes the Lord's day to be held in reverence. And because he compels the people to Judaize, that he may bring back the outward rite of the law and subject the perfidy of the Jews to himself, he wishes the Sabbath to be observed. For this which is said by the prophet, 'Ye shall bring in no burden through your gates on the Sabbath day.'" Jeremiah 17 and verse 24. "But after that the grace of Almighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has appeared, and the commandments of the law which were spoken figuratively cannot be kept according to the letter. For if anyone says this about the Sabbath, that it should be kept, he must needs say that carnal sacrifices are to be offered. He must say, too, that the commandment about the circumcision of the body is still to be retained. But let him hear the Apostle Paul saying in opposition to him, 'If you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing.'" So notice that these men are making the point that if you don't have to be circumcised, then you don't have to keep the Sabbath. And this whole Sabbath-keeping thing is null and void. I thought I would share this article with you because it is surprising. And I'm sure that you probably are not aware of the number of men and the number of writers and the number of materials that support the concept, both argumentally and intellectually, these men who are writing this stuff concerning the Sabbath. The fact that Sunday should be the day that should be kept and worshipped because Christ rose from the dead on the Sabbath. It is obvious that the person who is pushing this agenda is the power from beneath. It is Satan. Because Satan was a cherubim who sat and guarded the law of God in heaven. He knows the importance of the Sabbath. He knows that it is a sign of the seal of God upon the heart. And he is the one who keeps pushing and pushing to keep people to break that seal, to break that connection from God. There's another article that I came across in the same Catholic Answers. We're not going to be able to cover the whole of this, but I just thought I would give you the title and a little bit of it. This one is written by Michelle Arnold. And the title of this article is, "What about the Seventh-day Adventist claim that the Sabbath shouldn't have been changed to Sunday?" Now, this is Catholic Answers. "What about the Seventh-day Adventist claim that the Sabbath shouldn't have been changed to Sunday?" First question. Seventh-day Adventists insist that the Catholic Church has no scriptural warrant for changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Is this true? Answer. Not by a long shot. This question has been addressed by this rock before, but perhaps I, as a convert to the Catholic Church from Seventh-day Adventism, can offer a fresh perspective on the matter. While it is true, now listen to this, while it is true that there is no New Testament record of a voice from the heavens instructing the infant church, "Thou shalt change the day of thy worship and rest from Saturday to Sunday," Adventists are mistaken in their belief that there is no New Testament evidence that supports such a change by the Catholic Church. Quite apart from the biblical proof of the apostolic church authority to teach in God's name and of God's guarantee that this teaching would never fall into error. There is an impressive amount of evidence from Scripture that Christ and the apostles changed their day of corporate worship from Saturday to Sunday. The Old Testament Sabbath commandment contains two elements. The primary element, and the one that binds Christians as it does Jews, is the moral obligation to set aside adequate time for the purpose of divine worship. This could never be abrogated, as it is rooted in the natural law. And of course, then they go on to misuse some of the texts of the scriptures. And so what we will do in the future, we'll take a look at some of these texts that they claim are very, very clear with regard to the change of the Sabbath. And we will do a study which will show clearly that the Testament, the Old and the New Testament, is clear. And there is no absolute word from God regarding a change of the day of worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to make clear to us your truth. We recognize the work that is being done by Satan and his angels, and those who are his handmaidens and his servants. We recognize that they continue to try to persuade people not to be sealed with that seventh day, which is an idea and a symbol of the connection between us and our God. When we come to worship on that day, we join heart and hand, and God fills our hearts with that truth and refreshing so that we might worship according to his will. We ask, Lord, that you can continue to keep us bound to the faith, rooted and grounded in truth, so that we will realize that there is no change, but that the only change that God is looking for is the transformation of our characters, that we might reflect the Christ-likeness of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, August the 1st, 2019.